Jonah chapter 1 verse 4. Let's go to the book of Jonah chapter 1 verse 4. We are continuing from where we left off last week. It's 10:15. Let's see if we can finish this in 45 minutes. Okay, Jonah chapter 1 verse 4. The Bible says, "But Jehovah hurled a great wind into the sea, and there was a great storm in the sea, so that the ship was thought to be broken." It means they're like, it was not good news. "Then the seamen were afraid, and each man cried to his God." Who knows that everybody has got a God? Okay, some have got trees as gods. Some have got their wives as gods. Some have got their children as gods. I don't know who is your God. So they started calling out to their gods. "And they threw out the ship's articles in the ship into the sea in order to lighten it. But Jonah had gone down into the hold of the ship, and he lay there and was fast asleep." Let's go to verse 10. "Then the men were afraid with a great fear, and they say to him, 'What is this you have done?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from before the face of Jehovah, because he had told them." Verse 15. "And they lifted Jonah up and threw him out into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. And Jehovah had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Let's go to Jonah 2 verse 1. "And Jonah prayed to Jehovah his God out of the fish's belly." You can't be far away from God, eh? And here he was in the belly of the fish and he prayed. "And Jehovah spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah out on the dry land." Jonah 3 verse 1. "And the word of Jehovah came to Jonah the second time saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out to it the proclamation that I am declaring to you.' And Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of Jehovah. And Nineveh was a very great city of 3 days' journey." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the preaching of the word this morning. Father, we humble ourselves and we pray that you'd speak to us today. We pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. We pray for insight. We pray for your hand, oh God, to be upon us as we sit under the ministry of the word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, you find us doing part 3 of a series titled Commissioned. I want you to know that you are commissioned. You are a woman, you are a man on a mission. Hallelujah. There is a great mission that has your name on it. And we've been reading from the book of Jonah, understanding that Jonah was a man whom God chose and commissioned to go and be his mouthpiece around the city of Nineveh. And the Bible tells us that when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, Jonah refused. And the Bible says, "And Jonah rose up not to obey the voice of the Lord, but to disobey." How many times have we heard the voice of the Lord, we rise up in a different direction? So where we read here, we find God on a case regarding Jonah. We are finding God wondering, what am I going to do with this man? I need to do something about Jonah. And what a sequence of events that we've just read. Let me summarize the events for you before I introduce the title of our message this morning. So Jonah hears the voice of the Lord that says, "Go to Nineveh and speak against this city and warn them." But Jonah decides to run from God, and he gets into a ship that is going in the opposite direction, goes to Tarshish. That's the first thing. Secondly, Jonah thinks he has escaped the voice of God, but God was not done with Jonah. God comes after the sheep in the form of a storm, battered the sheep, almost breaking it apart. The sea had the command from God saying, I have an issue with the man in that ship. The sea obeyed God, but Jonah could not obey God. Do you remember the Lord Jesus saying, if you do not worship me, my Father will raise these stones to worship me. I want you to know that God does not fall short of people to use. So the sea obeyed, the wind battered the ship. And in the process, Jonah was found out to be the reason why the sea was so mad. And the guys in the ship threw Jonah, he said to them, throw me out of this boat, maybe I'll get away from God. Jonah was thrown into the sea, and the Bible says the sea calmed. But in the process of Jonah being thrown out, there was a big fish waiting for Jonah. And Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. Jonah thought, if I get into the sea, I get away from God. Not realizing that even the creatures of the sea hears the voice of God and they obey. He was swallowed because the Bible says, and the Lord had prepared a big fish to eat up Jonah. Jonah got into the belly of this fish. It means this fish was big. It wasn't a small animal. And the Bible says he was in the big fish's belly for 3 days. In other words, he went on a forced fast. 3 days and three nights, no food. And he remembered, there is God in heaven. And the Bible says, Jonah prayed. And when Jonah prayed, God heard his prayer. He told the fish, it's enough. Vomit this guy on the shores of Nineveh. And the fish obeyed, yes, sir. How can I disobey my creator? The fish vomited Jonah on the shores of Nineveh. I don't know about you, but when I look at these events, they point to one thing. And that one thing is called being relentless. It looks like God was relentless about what he wanted to do with Jonah. I would have thought God was angry with Jonah to the point where he would want to kill Jonah. But it doesn't look like God was angry to the point of wanting to kill Jonah. God was angry to the point of saying, I want to make you understand that I have my hand over your life. Glory be to God. God was relentless about something in Jonah's life. You see, it brings me to the title of my message this morning. On this part three of commission, I want to talk to you on the subject matter, a relentless pursuit. A relentless pursuit. I have children, and one of them is very relentless. He doesn't give up. If he wants something, he's going to come and say, Mama, can I go watch TV? Mama, can I go watch TV? Like, no, not now. After 15 minutes, Mama, can I go watch TV? No, go ride your bike. He goes, he comes in, Mama, can I watch TV? Until the mama is worn out, they say, go watch TV for an hour. I'm talking about being relentless. And this is what I see in the heart of God. So someone who is relentless is determined to do something and refuses to give up. Even if what they're doing is unpleasant or seems to be cruel. And this is what I see in the heart of God. Because one would think that when Jonah ran away from God, God was angry with him. And there are many believers today who think that God is angry with them. And you see it in the way that they behave. But God was not literally angry with Jonah. There was a different reaction that I see in God. I see a God who is relentlessly pursuing Jonah. And this morning I want you to understand, God is on your case. Come on now. God is on your case. If you think that your case is unredeemable, I want you to know that God is very patient with you. God is very patient with me. That is why we need to understand that where we would have placed a full stop, God is saying it's just a slowdown. It's just a comma. It's not a period. The Lord is not yet done with this church. Glory be to God. The Lord is not yet done with your children. The Lord is not yet done with you as a mother, with you as a father, with you as a child of God. Hallelujah. Why have you put a full stop where God has just put a comma? I want you to know in my life, I'm a construction site. When you come close to me, you realize I'm a man who is being worked on by God. Put this down. God is relentless about seeing you run and finish your race well. God is relentless about ensuring that you finish what He destined you to do. God has made up His mind that I am not done with you. Glory be to God. And this is what I see with Jonah. When God has called you, He will see to it that you have all that you need to start the journey and to finish well. The Lord will never call you and He holds back certain resources in order to ensure that you don't make it. You have everything that you need. You're going to find it as you walk your journey this morning. And I want to just address you right now and say, where are you regarding God's destiny for your life? Where are you? I want you to know that God knows the end before the beginning. What we are simply doing is discovering what God has already planned out for us. I used to ask myself, when I was 22 years old, I never thought I would be here today. When I was finishing high school, I never thought how my life was going to play out. I had no idea, but the Father knew. And this morning, I want you to understand, your life is not by default, your life is by design. That is why we need to live a prayed for life. When you pray into the future and you say, Lord, you know the future and I need you to take my hand. I need you to guide me. I need you to order my steps. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. God is relentless. Isaiah 46 verse 10. The Bible says, I declare the end from the beginning. I declare the end from the beginning. And ancient times from what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand. And all my good pleasure I will accomplish. You see, you're not a mistake. Doesn't matter how old you are right now. It doesn't matter how you feel like you've lost and missed the plot. The God of heaven knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And this morning, I want our hearts to be stirred up to the plan that God has for us. Hallelujah. He says, I summon a bird of prey from the east, a man for my purpose from a far off land. Truly I have spoken, and truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, and I will surely do it. I will surely do it. And this should be our prayer every single day. And say, Lord, I want to open the next page of my book. Help me to know and to understand what is for now and what is for tomorrow. Glory be to God. Because He knows what He has destined you for. You see, I don't know what is your story. And you might have disqualified yourself because of the experiences that you had in your life. because of what has happened to you, because of what you have done, and you disqualify yourself. But I want you to understand, as long as your life is surrendered before God, the Lord will guide you and direct you. Hallelujah. The Lord knew that Abraham was going to give birth to Isaac. But through the passage of time, Abraham gave birth to an Ishmael. But that did not stop the purposes of God for Abraham to have an Isaac. And this morning, you might be having a lot of Ishmaels in your life. I want you to know, as long as your life is dedicated and committed to the Lord, your Isaac will come. Glory be to God. You will become what God has called you to be. So God was determined to get Jonah to be his mouthpiece. And I'm saying to myself, Lord, why did you have to waste your time to pursue Jonah? What was so special about Jonah? Could you not go and look for other Jonahs out there? I want you to know you are irreplaceable. There is no other person like you. Another person might come, but they are not you. And therefore, God looked at Jonah and said, what I want Nineveh to hear can only be said through the mouth of Jonah. And therefore, I need you, Jonah, to come partner with me. And so God was determined to get Jonah to be his mouthpiece. When Jonah thought he had run away from God, God sent the wind. God sent the fish. And Jonah found himself in a place where he said, yes, sir, I don't have any other choice. Put this down. Regardless of how far off you are from your calling, the Lord will make a way to bring you back to what he destined you for. I want to encourage somebody this morning. It's not too late for you to be what God has called you to be. It's not too late to reconnect with your passions. You might have heard so many words being spoken over your life that are contrary to the passions that you had during your childhood. It's not too late. It was not too late for Abraham when he was 75 to get the calling of God. None of us here are 75. And I want to challenge you right now and say, do not put yourself off what God has called you to. And the Lord wants to encourage you. You feel that you're not good enough. You feel like you have missed the bus long ago. You feel like you have gone beyond the age of doing what God has called you to do. Or maybe you're still too young. You are very much inexperienced. Jonah realized when God's hand is on you, you cannot run away from God. Why is God so determined in this way? Psalms 8 verse 4, David says, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? Who am I, Lord, that you are mindful of me? And this somebody needs to have this revelation that God is mindful of you. That God wants to speak to you. That God wants to partner with you. That God wants to do something through you in the name of Jesus. Does somebody hear me this morning? This church will look differently the moment we are so convinced that God is even mindful of me. That God knows me by name. That God can trust me with souls. That God can trust me with helping young people to see the light. The moment we have that revelation, we stop second-guessing ourselves. So God is in pursuit of you. His love is pursuing after you. God has always been after man right from the beginning. The Bible tells us in Genesis when God had created man, that in the breeze of the afternoon, God would come down and he would commune with Adam in pursuit of man. Who is man that you're mindful of, Lord? God would come down in the breeze of the afternoon talking to Adam. God, don't you have angels up there that you can spend time with? Well, he has, but man has a special place in his heart. You have a special place in the heart of God, and that is why He is mindful of you. Many of us need to deal with the spirit of rejection. We've been rejected so many times, and that is the attitude with which we approach Father God. But David says, God, why are you so concerned about this man, this person called man? You made him a little lower than angels. You have honored him. You have crowned him with glory and with honor. And this morning we need to come to that realization that heaven is mindful of you. When you are sleeping, heaven is mindful of you. When you wake up in the morning going to work or looking after the kids, heaven is mindful of you. Heaven does not say, remind me again, what is your name? The Bible says, I know you by name. I don't know if you are convinced that heaven knows you by name. You see, in the Bible we see God in the pursuit of humanity. He pursues human beings as if he's pursuing himself. He says, I want to fellowship with you. The reason why he pursues you and I like himself, it is because we are made in his image. He says, let us therefore make man in our own image. And he made them, he and her, in his likeness, he made them. So when he looks at you, he sees himself. When he looks at you, he sees his image. Now, the Bible is full of stories of God pursuing humanity. God pursuing man. Almost begging man to say, can you be with me? I want to fellowship with you. I want to work with you. I want to use you for what I'm doing on earth. God, you can use angels. But he says, no. I don't want to work with angels at this level. I want to work with you. The Bible says, don't you know that angels are ministering spirits unto saints? In other words, angels receive commands from God on your behalf. And they do things on behalf of God, on behalf of his command. In actual fact, let me put this in brackets, we have no right to command angels. They are not our, we don't have a right to tell angels to do things for us. They are ministering spirits, but on the behest of God. It is the Lord who dispatches angels on our behalf. You've heard a lot of people talking about angels, like, we command our angels to come. No, you are trespassing in the spirit when you do things like that. Come on now. It's only God the Father who commands angels to work on our behalf. So when God wants to do things on earth, he looks for man, you and I. Hallelujah. Let's look at a number of examples that show us that what God was doing with Jonah was not something strange. He has always done that. And he's still doing that today. And a lot of you have heard an inclination of God nudging you to do something. And you feel like, no man, I think it's just my thoughts. It's just my feelings. But the Lord has been talking to you. The Lord has been challenging you. And I say to you this morning, pay attention. Pay attention. You'll be surprised by what the Lord will do. I don't know if I should say this, but 3-4 weeks ago, I was in my office. One of my clients came. We spoke a lot and we spoke about spiritual things, and he started asking me, Mike, tell me, why do you do what you do? Mike, tell me, how do you balance work life, business life, church life? Tell me, how do you do these things? How did you know you were supposed to do these things? Make me understand, how do you get these messages that you talk about on a Sunday morning? I say to him, back in the days in 1997, I had an inclination in my heart. I knew God was calling me, both in the secular and in the sacred. I said, but how did you know that is what God wants you to do? It was a deep conversation. This man this man. At that point, as we were talking, my heart said, I need to share Christ with him. But I then said to myself, I need to pray first before I share Christ with him. Take note, that was 3 weeks ago. Okay. So he left my office and my heart was saying, I need to pray for this man. And the next time he comes back into my office, I'm going to share Christ with him. Before he had said to me, you know what, Mike, I believe, you know, I don't go to church. I believe there's a God. You know, a lot of people will tell you, I believe there's a God. Just pay attention to this story. So I wasn't quite sure if this guy has really crossed the bloodline. So we'd grown close with this man. And then on Thursday morning, sent out a text and say, hey buddy, how you doing? How are you and your wife? I hope you have a great weekend coming. I did not get a response. Thursday night, I get a response. This man died yesterday. Right? This man died yesterday. So he says, I'm going to use X. X died yesterday. I was heart-wrenched. I kept on saying to my wife, ah, really? No. I can't believe this. No. He's one man who used to come to my office very regularly. And I think I'd worked with him since 2017. Today, as I speak, his body is at the morgue. And I'm saying to myself, what happened? I had a nudging that 3 weeks ago. We shared spiritual conversations, but I never got to the point of getting my friend to encounter the Jesus I know. I never got to the point of saying, friend, you need Jesus. He was inspired by my life. He was inspired by my kids and my wife. But today, I don't know if I should say, may his soul rest in peace. I don't know. This is a real issue, guys. I'm not talking about hearsay. This is in my heart. My heart is like going, God, do you know when I was praying yesterday, I felt like praying for him. Can I be honest with you? I felt like praying for him. Say, Lord, I'm like, how? You know, the last time he came to my office was like, do you know, I'm a member at the club. We need to get the kids to go on a boat ride. Let's get the kids to go on a boat ride. Anyway, it's real. So when God nudges you, that's the moment of salvation. That's the moment, that's a turning point for somebody. That's a moment for somebody to see the light. It's a moment for somebody to say yes to the Lord. Maybe the Lord was saying to me, this man is ready to receive Jesus. And my wife kept on saying, maybe he knew Jesus. I'm like, I cannot claim that because I don't know. I'm just living, hoping that one day when I enter heaven, I'll see that man welcoming me into glory. But I'm not sure about that. Let's not waste time because tomorrow belongs to nobody. Had I known that day, it was the last time seeing this guy sitting in my office, I would have shared Christ with him and forced him to say, you need Jesus, buddy, because 3 weeks' time you're going. So, many of you know what you're supposed to do. Yeah. Do it. Yeah. Nike, just do it. Yeah. Just risk it. Yeah. Because that is what faith is. Yeah. The Lord will not show you the entire staircase. The Lord will show you the first step. Jump onto that first step and you see the next step. Hallelujah. What is it the Lord has been calling you to do? Sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional and passionate here. But this is life, people of God. And as people of God, we need to get away from a place of playing church and to be serious about what God is calling us to do. We don't have the entire 70 years to live, some of us. Some of us will go at 51. This guy was 51. A lot of people claim, I'm not going to die before I'm 70 because the Lord told me with a full life He will satisfy me. Yes, that is a promise, but He did not say you live till 80. He said with a long life, He will satisfy you. What if my long life is 45 and I would have done all that God has called me and heaven says, you are done, my boy, come home. Are you ready to go? It's not about a hell insurance or fire insurance. It's about you waiting there with the Father saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because all of us, if you are born again, we have fire insurance. We don't worry about hell, but I worry about the crown. I worry about the Father telling me, my boy, you did all that I called you to do. I want to die empty. I want to come to that place where I'm saying, Lord, I am ready to come home because I have done all that you've called me to do. Glory be to God. Everything that you know that you should do, you will give account. I will give account. Maybe the Lord will ask me to account about this body of mine. He will say to me, Michael, on that day, I told you, share Jesus with him, but you didn't. I don't know what will be the reprimand from the Father if that is the case. But I'm saying to myself, no more. When I get that inclination, I'll share Jesus with that person. I will do whatever it takes to share Jesus. As long as the Holy Ghost gives me a nudge, I will share Jesus with that person. I refuse to live in regret. I'm regretting right now. I was speaking to the wife yesterday, and she was like, I just don't know how to, what's left and what's right. I remember standing outside the office, and they say to me, Mike, can I tell you something? I lived in sin for 20 years. And I said, what do you mean? He says, you know what? I stayed with my wife for 20 years without marrying her. But 10 years ago, we worded. You can hear the talk. This man was ready to receive Jesus. And there I was like, oh man, I'm glad at least you are married. But that was not the issue. The issue is he was ready for Jesus. He knew what sin was. And many of us have had those conversations with people, but we don't cross the bloodline with them. We might never cross the bloodline if you don't do it today. And Paul says, when you hear the word of the Lord, today is a day of salvation. That is why we're talking about commission. I will never forget the WhatsApp here. X has died. How so? What is it? COVID. Huh? Anyway, so God is always in pursuit of man. God means business with you, with me. God will never waste his time with us. When God comes and he nudges you, he means it. We minimize the nudging of the Holy Ghost, but he means it. He might not come forceful because he's gentle, but he means it. The fact that you have a wife who is gentle doesn't mean she's not being forceful when she says no. Yeah. Come on now. Yeah. And that is the friend we have called the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You expect him to explode like that. No, he doesn't explode. He comes in the quietness of your heart. He comes as a silent, small voice. And yet he's making a loud voice. There is no more time. Do what you have to do now. Does somebody hear me this morning? When the Holy Spirit nudges you to wake up and pray in the morning, there is no time to say, I am tired, because you might never get another chance to pray. When the Holy Spirit nudges you to say forgive, don't give reasons. Forgive, because you might never get another chance to forgive. I know people are carrying guilt in their hearts because somebody died before they had forgiven them. Does somebody hear me this morning? Pursuit of man. What have you been receiving as a nudging in your spirit, man? What has the Holy Spirit been telling you to do? The Holy Spirit has been telling us to change certain habits, but we give reasons why we can't. You just say, well, I just like doing it. But the love of God is shared abroad our hearts, and He's telling us this thing will kill you. Change. Does somebody hear me this morning? The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anybody hears my voice and open up their hearts, I'll come in and I'll dine with them and them with me. That scripture is not only for non-believers, it's also for you and I. If we are to dine with Jesus Christ on the table called destiny, we need to open up our hearts. We need to rise up and say, I will give it all for Jesus. I will sacrifice my time. I will sacrifice my finances. I will sacrifice my comfort for the sake of the one who is calling me. Does somebody hear me this morning? Relentless pursuit. The Lord pursued Jonah until He got Jonah where He wanted him to be. Talk about the prophet Balaam. The prophet Balaam was enticed by money by a king called Balak. Balak said to Balaam, I know you are a prophet, and what you say comes to pass. There is this multitude of people that is coming my way. Can you please come and curse them on my behalf? The Lord appeared before Balaam and says, Balaam, I don't want you to go because you cannot curse what God has blessed. But Balaam, because of his carnality, said, I'll go. The Bible says, on the way to make this prophecy, his donkey saw an angel that Balaam could not see. God had told him, do not go. And God sends an angel, a relentless God. God is full of mercy. God is very gracious. Don't give up on yourself. He even sent an angel. He even caused a donkey to speak back to Balaam. If you read the story in Numbers. What am I saying this morning? There's a God on the pursuit. Because of time, I won't read all of these scriptures, but we see Moses feeling incompetent to be used by God. Moses felt incompetent to be used by God. When God came before Moses, before the burning bush, I'll paraphrase these scriptures, but they are there in the Bible. The Bible says the Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard, I have seen, I'm coming down, therefore go. I want you, Moses, to be the deliverer. I want you, Moses, to be my mouthpiece. I want you, Moses, to be my instrument of deliverance. And Moses said, who am I that I should go? Many people do not do what God has called them because they are insecure in their identity. They don't know who they are. Moses said, Father, who am I that I should go? Identity crisis. Number two, he said, who are you that I should go? Who am I going to say He has sent me? And he then said, I cannot speak. I stammer. I'm slow of words. And the Lord said to him, who gave you that mouth? Who gave you the ears? Who gave you the hands? The one who gave you that instrument will enable you to use that instrument. Moses said, no, use somebody else. And the Bible says, the Lord got so angry with Moses. Lord, why are you contending with me? Lord, why are you contending with Moses? It is because God means business about what He planted in you. The Lord is saying, I can't replace you. I can get somebody else, but they have their own course to run. This church will never grow to its potential as long as many of us here are just sitting and not doing what God has called us to do. I believe with all my heart, it doesn't matter how small a church is, everything that church needs is found there. Sound people are here. Ushers are here. Worshippers are here. Givers are here. It's just that many of us are so distracted by other things. But may the Lord help us this morning to realize that you are not here by mistake. You are here by chance. Why should the pastor beg us to come and partner when we know this is where we are supposed to be? Gideon felt so insignificant. In Judges chapter 6, the Bible says Gideon was in a wine press, threshing wheat. If you know, a wine press is a confined place. You do not thresh wheat in an enclosed place. That is how Gideon was operating, a place of limitation. And many of us are in that place of limitation because of the way we think about ourselves. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord appeared before Gideon and said, "Oh, mighty man of valor, arise in your power, for I will deliver the children of Israel from the hands of the Midianites through your hands." And Gideon said, "No, it can't be. If you are a true God, why are we in trouble? Why are there no miracles? Why are there no changes in our lives? Why is there crime in my environment? Why are kids on drugs right now?" Those are the reasons we give for not running our race. We judge God based on our circumstances. I want you to know that God remains God regardless of our circumstances. This world is a fallen world. And therefore, everything that happens in this world is bound to degenerate over time. God said to him, "Rise up in your might." And Gideon said, "No, it cannot be. I am of the least tribe. I am the last in my father's house. And therefore, I am unusable." Some of you are saying, "I have messed up so much. I have been unfaithful. I have been promiscuous. I have not been available when I was needed. Therefore, I am unusable." The Lord said to me, "I know about all of those things. Don't you think God knows all our mess? Don't you think God knows everything that we do, that we hide even from the closest of people around us? God knows them. And yet he still says, 'My finger is on you.' Oh, what manner of love is this? That a man should die for his friends?" We are talking about Jesus. You think Jesus did not know how messed up we were when he died on the cross? He knew. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, "He came to his own, but his own rejected him. But whoever believed in him, he gave them power to become the children of God." John chapter 1, verse 12. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a God who knows your mess and yet still prepared to work with you. Jeremiah felt too young. The Lord came to Jeremiah and said, "Hey, Jerry. Jerry, I knew you, buddy. Before you were conceived, I knew you. I gave you a name. I gave you a calling. Now it's time." Who knows that there's always a time for everything? I don't know how old Jeremiah was, but when Jeremiah heard the call of God, he said, I'm just a little boy and I cannot speak." And God says, "Don't say you're a little boy, because I have called you to speak to nations." Wow. And what is the learning? The destiny of God will expose your weaknesses in order to draw you into trusting him for its performance. The destiny of God will always expose your weaknesses in order to draw you to a place of trusting him for its performance. Otherwise, whenever, if it was easygoing, we'd just walk into it and you're like, you know what, I'll just walk into heaven riding my bike. It's easy to do it. No. You then realize how short you fall when it comes to the things of God. Now, this morning I want you to realize that God will sometimes use your brokenness to fix other people's brokenness. You might find that your calling is very much linked to what you're fighting every single night. What you're struggling with right now, if you look closely, is what you're passionate to deal with. And you say, but Lord, how can it be? How can I be used? I'm struggling with exactly the same issue. And the Lord wants you to know that through your brokenness and through your pain, he's going to use you to fix other people's brokenness. I will read this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Now, let's finish off this story. At the end in Jonah chapter 3 verse 1, the Bible says, and the voice of the Lord came to Jonah for the second time. God, oh God, you are full of mercy. You've got such a broad heart for your children. He went again to Jonah. Okay? I want you to understand this morning that we serve a God of multiple times, not just second times. You messed the first time, the Father will still come back. You messed the second time, the Father will still come. You messed the sixth time, the Father will still come. Think about Peter, how many times he messed up. Even on the last day, when Jesus rose from the dead, he said to Mary, go tell my disciples that I have arisen. Even Peter. In John 21, when the Lord was now talking, he said to Peter again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. First time. Second time. Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. What's your story? So God is in pursuit of those who are in the kingdom and for those who are still outside the kingdom. He pursued Jonah, but in the process of pursuing Jonah, he was pursuing Nineveh. Oh, what a good God we serve. He pursued Jonah for the ultimate pursuit of Nineveh. The reason why God is on your case is not just for you, it's for that person who needs your ministry to see Jesus. And the Bible says, for the second time, God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah, please, let's not fight about this. I can hear God saying to Jonah, Jonah, didn't you see the wind? Didn't you see the storm? Didn't you see the fish? Let's make it easy, because I'm not going to give up on you. And I'm saying to you today, let's make it easy for heaven to work with us. Let's make it easy for heaven to dispatch us into the harvest. Souls are dying. Families are perishing. Children are dying in drugs. But God has called you to deal with young people. What are you doing wasting your energy? Young men are hooked up in drugs. And you know very well, I have a passion for young men. Let's make it easy for heaven to work with us. We can sing, "My beloved Jesus, my beautiful Jesus." But if we don't walk with Him, His heart continues to bleed. He continues saying, "Whom shall I send? Who shall go on our behalf?" I don't want stones to preach Jesus on my behalf. If they reject me, it's fine. They're not rejecting me, they're rejecting Jesus. Let's not be deceived by the comfort of this world. There's a bigger agenda. And that agenda has to do with souls. That is what got Jesus to die. The most gruesome death. And what are we doing as a church today? I don't feel like it's too cold to go to church. It's too cold to go for prayer. Sometimes there are some storms we experience because heaven is trying to draw our attention. Come on now. There are some storms that you don't have to go through. But if you keep on making it difficult for heaven, there are some storms that will come in order to draw your attention to a place where you say, "Lord, let thy will be done in my life." Not because He wants to break the sheep apart. No, that's not His intention, to destroy your life. All He is saying, "I want your attention. Mike, you matter a lot to what I'm about to do. And I need you to pay attention to what I'm doing." Let's stand on our feet this morning. I want us to pray. It comes down to this. Are we going to make it easy for heaven to work with us? Or are we going to keep on being on the run? It's such an honor to serve the Lord. It's such an honor to be called into the field. And when this church understands that, there will be no space here for people. Souls are going to come into the kingdom. Some people say, it's not about numbers. It's about numbers. The Bible says on that day, John says, John the Revelator, "I saw a book being opened and names being read out." John says, "I saw multitudes upon multitudes." Numbers matter. Saints, let's not fool ourselves like this church is okay. No, that's not the heart of God. Multitudes upon multitudes need to say yes to the Lord. I refuse to be comfortable by just having 15 people come into church. No. The Lord has provided for me. And therefore, I don't need numbers for my provision. No. I want numbers to populate heaven. I want people, when they die, for us to be able to say, "Rest in peace, brother. Go into the glory of your Father." That is our joy. That is our pursuit today as the church. Ooh. Lord, let's pray. Commit yourself and say, "Lord, you can use me. Lord, you can count on me. Lord, do a work in my heart. Lord, stir my heart, Lord. You've been nudging me. Oh God, I want to run this race. I want to do what you've called me to do, Lord." Holy Spirit of God, we thank you. Your word says the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are...